Let's open our Bibles this morning to the Word of God in Romans chapter 8. Very familiar passage of the Word of God, especially on account of certain verses in Romans chapter 8. Maybe most especially verse 28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. This time we're going to read verses 1 through 28, and as we do so, notice how often, how many times the Spirit is mentioned in this passage. We maybe don't often think of that in Romans 8, but many times reference is made to the Holy Spirit in the verses that we'll be reading. So let's read Romans 8, 1 through 28. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. We are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Read the word of God thus far, and may God bless unto us the reading of his holy, inspired, and infallible word. Our text is verses 26 and 27. I'll read that again. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, ordinarily in a Reformed church and a Reformed congregation, not a lot of attention is given really to the Holy Spirit. And that's proper, at least in comparison to the attention that is given to Jesus Christ. And the reason that's proper is because the Holy Spirit is revealed to us in the Word of God as the Spirit of Christ. The Holy Spirit reveals himself to us in the Word of God as the Spirit who does not draw attention to himself, but directs our attention always to Christ. He doesn't speak of himself, but he speaks of Christ. He doesn't work in us to make us notice him, but he works in us to make us notice the work of Christ in us and the blessings of Christ that we enjoy. And it's from that perspective then that really Pentecostalism and the charismatic movement have all of the emphasis wrong and incorrect. And yet, the Holy Spirit may not be ignored by us. And it's good that we give some attention to the Holy Spirit, so long as we give our attention to him in a correct and thus in the biblical way. The Spirit has been given to us. The Spirit who has been given to God, a great gift by Christ. And we are blessed in countless ways through the work of the Holy Spirit. And that we must know and be thankful to God for. Many of the blessings that we receive from and through the Spirit are mentioned in the passage that we read. Verses 1 through 4, we notice that the Spirit is the one who sets us free from sin and death. The Spirit is the one who works in the heart, in the life of the child of God, so that we are freed from the control, the dominion of sin, and able to serve God. Verses 5 through 10 speak of the Spirit again. And the Spirit is the one pointed out there as doing the work of causing us not to be carnal and earthly minded, not to be focused upon things earthly, but to be spiritually minded, to know and to see and to love spiritual and heavenly things. That's a blessing that we can do on account of the work of the Spirit. Then verses 14 through 17 speaks of the Spirit again. And by means of the Spirit, we know that we are the sons of God. We have been adopted into the family of God. The Spirit working in us so that we say, Abba, Father, in relation to God. We believe He is our Father, and as those who are His children, we are, as pointed out there, the heirs of life eternal. And because of the work of the Spirit, it's pointed out in 23 through 25 that we have hope as God's people. A hope that is certain, a hope that is sure, a hope of the perfection of this creation when God makes all things new. And the Spirit even produces within us groanings for that, a longing for that. We are blessed in that way too by the Spirit. Our text adds this: there is yet one more blessing of the Spirit mentioned here, and that is that the Spirit does a work in relation to our prayer life. He does something in relation to our prayer life that we perhaps don't often think about. It is a crucial work. And it is a crucial work that the Spirit does this because of the crucial place that prayer occupies in the life of a believer. The Christian life would be impossible without prayer. Prayer is very necessary for our spiritual survival. And we're greatly encouraged this morning with regard to our prayer life by the work of the Spirit that is mentioned in our text concerning prayer. Greatly encouraged, especially in light of the fact that prayer is not easy, not always easy. Prayer is very necessary. But prayer can be very difficult for us at times, and difficult for us to pray well to God. And so may we be encouraged by understanding that the Spirit intercedes in prayer. Consider then this text under the theme, the Spirit interceding for us. We'll notice what the Spirit does, our need of this, and the blessedness of it. Prayer is a gift of God to us. And prayer is given to us by God for us to use, to practice. The fact that the text mentions that the Spirit helps us by praying for us, by interceding for us, does not negate the fact that we must pray. We need to pray. We need to pray because we are a needy people. We need to pray because we are dependent upon God. We need to pray because we cannot live for one moment without God. And so we must pray. And we must pray because prayer is the chief part of thankfulness of the Christian. And if the child of God is thankful, the child of God will pray often to God. If the child of God is truly thankful, then following the injunction of Scripture, we will pray without ceasing. Always conscious of God, always dependent upon God, always expressing our need of God, even if it's not through actual words that we're speaking at the time. Prayer without ceasing. And although it is true we do it very importantly, nevertheless, by the grace of God, the child of God does pray. And the text states that too. The Spirit helps us with our infirmities in prayer. But it doesn't deny, the text doesn't, that we pray and that we must pray. We pray as church. We pray as families. We pray as individually, as individuals. is very prayerful. Very prayerful. It says that in addition to all that, to our actual use of the gift of prayer that God gives to us and expects us to use, in addition to that, the Spirit makes intercession for us. The Spirit prays for us. Now, this work of the Spirit, you must understand, beloved, is different from another work of the Spirit in regards to our prayers. There is another work that the Spirit does with regard to our praying. And that is this, that He is the one who equips and enables us to pray. He does that, and He needs to do that because without the Spirit doing that, we would not pray. We wouldn't want to pray. We could not pray. Without the Spirit being the one who works in our hearts to equip and enable us to pray, we wouldn't pray because we would not be willing to admit our need of God and our dependence upon God. We, in our pride, would say, I'm fine without God. I don't need Him. I don't need to pray to Him. Without the work of the Spirit within us, we would skip praying altogether, as sometimes happens, because we become so busy, we become so earthly minded, and we give no thought to pray until the Spirit must bring us to think again of our need of prayer. We would also skip praying because to pray involves confessing sins to God. That's something we don't want to do. Or we would not dare to pray to God without the Spirit. God is so high, God is so great, God is so holy, and I'm a terrible sinner. How can I even dare to speak to God? And without the Spirit, we would not pray properly. So that when we do actually pray, we do it only because the Spirit works in us and gives us the ability to pray, gives us the desire to pray, and gives us the courage to pray, and gives us the words to pray God. So that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart is acceptable to God. That's a work of the Spirit. I say again, beloved, the text is not referring to that. The text rather is referring to the fact that the Spirit Himself prays directly to God for us. That's what intercession is. Someone who intercedes for a person, speaks for that person, speaks on behalf of that person, is the person's spokesman or the person's voice to someone else. Someone who intercedes is someone who says for another person what that person does not say or what that person cannot say. Someone who intercedes is comparable to a lawyer in a court of law, where if you have to defend yourself against a false charge, you don't know what to say. You don't know how to defend yourself because you don't have a good knowledge of all the laws of the land and of all the ways to present your case. You need someone to speak for you. Sometimes that's true even in ecclesiastical assemblies. Someone might need an advocate, someone to speak for them because they don't know what to say or they simply cannot say what needs to be said. That's what the Spirit does. He makes intercession. He makes that intercession for us. He prays directly to God on your behalf. And he is saying things to God that you do not say to God in your prayers, and he is saying things to God in his prayers to God that you cannot say in your prayers to God. He brings prayers to God for things that you don't pray about. He brings prayers to God that you're not even aware of. The Spirit intercedes and prays for us. What's striking is that this intercession of the Spirit is in addition to Christ's intercession for us. That's also in this same chapter, a little later, beyond what we read. But in verse 34 of Romans 8, we read this: Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. So Christ also intercedes for us. He is sitting now at the right hand of God, and he is praying to God from the right hand of God, bringing all of our needs to his Father and our Father in heaven. And he is doing that, as Hebrews 4:15 points out, as our sympathetic high priest, who knows what we need and knows what we need in this life from his own experience of this life. He lived in this world. He faced all things that we face in this life. He was tempted in all points like as we are tempted in this life. He faced the sorrows of life that we face. And as one who has experienced all of that, Christ intercedes for us. And now, in addition to that, the Spirit intercedes. Both Christ and the Spirit interceding for us. And you can be sure, because the Spirit is the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit's prayers and Christ's prayers are in perfect harmony with each other too. But when you stop to think of that, Christ interceding for us, the Spirit interceding for us, and then many others interceding for us, think of how many prayers go up to the throne of God for each one of us. Many more than we realize. The prayers of our fellow saints, the prayers of family members for us, the prayers of close friends for us, the prayers of a pastor for the members of the church, the prayers of the other office bearers for the members of the church, and many other prayers beside. And then in addition to all of that, the prayers of the Spirit and the prayers of Christ. Many prayers going to God for each of us. But there is something unique and special and uniquely comforting concerning the fact that the Spirit prays for you. Christ prays for you, but Christ is praying for you from heaven. The Spirit, however, when he prays for you, is praying for you from earth. And not simply from earth, but from within you. Not from afar, but from inside us. Because that's where the Spirit dwells. And that assures us that the prayers that the Spirit brings to God are very well-informed prayers. The Spirit dwells within us. The Spirit has an intimate knowledge of our lives. The Spirit has an intimate knowledge of our needs, a personal and an experiential knowledge of your life and your needs. We could say that the Spirit is directly involved in your life. The Spirit is involved in your struggles. The Spirit is involved in carrying and bearing the burdens that you face in life. The Spirit is involved in the temptations that you face in life. When you experience grief, the Spirit experiences that grief with you. When you experience a heavy heart because of the many burdens of life, the Spirit experiences that with you. When you experience the feeling of being overwhelmed with the responsibilities of life, the Spirit experiences that with you. And the Spirit, with that intimate, personal, direct, experiential knowledge of your life and mine, now intercedes to God for us with groanings, the text says. Groanings that parallel the groanings of our hearts, groanings that reflect the groanings that we have as we sigh and groan on account of the burdens and troubles of this life. As we weep, the Spirit weeps with us. And He brings those groanings and those sighs and those weepings to God for us. And lets our Heavenly Father know how difficult and dark our way sometimes is in this life. The Spirit doing this wonderful work, praying for every one of us. That's something we need. And the reason we need the Spirit's prayers and the Spirit's intercession is stated in our text in the beginning of verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. It's a reference to, in this context, to the Spirit helping us with the infirmities that we have in prayer. Weaknesses is the word there. Helping us with our weaknesses in prayer. None of us would disagree that we have many weaknesses in our prayer life. And it's no surprise, therefore, that we need the Spirit to pray for us. Many infirmities. The infirmity that we, or the weakness that we don't pray when we should. The weakness that we don't pray often. The weakness that our prayers are not sincere, just words, but not arising from hearts. The weakness that our prayers are self-centered prayers. Many infirmities, many weaknesses in our prayers. But notice the text focuses upon especially one weakness that we have in prayer. This is the weakness. The weakness is that we know not what we should pray for as we ought. And the Spirit helps us in our prayers, in addition to all of the other infirmities, with this infirmity too. And it's this infirmity especially, this weakness, we know not what to pray for as we ought. First of all, it points to the fact that we frequently don't know what to pray for. We bow our heads in prayer, we pray, and we don't know what to ask God for. And we end up asking God for the wrong things instead of the right things. We don't pray for the things that we ought to pray for, as the text says. The right things for us to pray for are especially things spiritual, things heavenly, and things eternal. But how often do we pray for those things? How often do we pray for what Christ taught us in Luke 11, verse 13, to pray for His Spirit, for His grace? How often do we verbalize that request in our prayers in comparison to the many other requests that we include in our prayers? Most often, we take an earthly perspective and an earthly focus when we pray to God, not a heavenly and a spiritual. Most often, we approach prayer this way. What is best for my life here on earth? What do I need for my earthly life? What do I need so that I can continue my earthly life and enjoy it and have success and peace and pleasure upon this earth? That's not wrong for us to pray for those things, but those are the things we mostly pray for. And when we do, the text tells us, when that infirmity is evident in our prayers and becomes manifest in our prayers to God, the Spirit prays for us. And when the Spirit prays for us, as the end of verse 27 points out, he prays according to the will of God for us. He prays prayers that are in harmony with the will of God. He prays prayers that are in harmony with what God has eternally planned to do in our lives or to give us in our lives for our eternal good. It may be this way, beloved, sometimes that we experience sickness in life, we experience and hear of a disease that God has brought in upon us, or physical pain that we endure every day, and our prayer to God is, Lord, deliver me from this. Deliver me now from this. We might even say in our prayers to God, the sooner the better. Because right now with this burden in my life, it's almost impossible for me to go on in life. I cannot function properly in my current circumstances. Lord, deliver me now. Now. The reality might be that those particular troubles are exactly what God has willed for us to continue to have for a time. And the Spirit knows that. He knows something that we don't know. And he prays, Lord, do not remove those things yet. These are necessary for this child's spiritual growth and blessing and spiritual preparation for glory. He knows the will of God. He prays in harmony with that will of God. It may be that we struggle with other difficulties in life, difficulties in your marriage, difficulties within your family, troubles with your children, single life, or being childless, difficulties at work, loneliness, the sorrow because of the death of a loved one. And your prayer to God is, Father, provide me a friend. Give me a spouse. Be pleased to give me children. Be pleased to make my circumstances in life better. Provide me with someone or something in life to fill the void in my life because of the loss of someone who has died. And again, it's not wrong for us to pray for those things. In fact, we must. But the reality may be that those things that we pray for would not be good for us spiritually. And the Spirit, again, knows that. Because He knows the will of God. Because He Himself, as a person of the Trinity, planned the will of God for us. And He prays, Father, continue to give this one of Thy beloved children these circumstances and these struggles. Don't remove them yet. These are necessary. And give them grace, much grace, to bear these burdens. The Spirit prays for us as the one who knows the will of God. And we need Him to do that. But secondly, that statement, that infirmity that is stated in the text, we know not what we should pray for as we ought, points to the times when we simply don't know what to pray. That is, when we pray, we don't know what to say. We struggle to form, to put together a good prayer to God, or any prayer at all. I'm sure every believer experiences that too. Desire that your prayers be pleasing to God, but you bow your head and you don't know where to start. You don't know what words to speak. What words can I possibly say as a creature of the dust to the Most High God? What can I say that will be pleasing to God? What can I say that will be right for me to say to the Most High God? That can happen when the child of God is overwhelmed by the afflictions and the troubles of this earthly life. The heavy hand of God touches the believer. The child of God knows that it comes from the hand of God, whatever it is, whether suddenly hearing that one has cancer or a tragic death that occurs or a serious sickness that one is enduring or the sin of a child that you hear about as a parent and that leads to a struggle of faith. Why has God done this? Why is this part of God's will in my life? How can this be an evidence of the Lord's love for me? You know you must pray, you bow your head, and you don't know what to say to God. You don't know where to start. Sometimes that's because you're afraid of saying the wrong thing. With David in Psalm 39 verse 9, you say this, I was dumb, I opened not my mouth, because thou didst it. Other times, it can be a struggle when we fall into sin, especially if it is a repeated sin. And then we know and conscious of the fact that we've offended God, our Father, again, and we hardly dare speak to Him. We don't know what to say. But perhaps for you it's also, and even especially this, when you're anxious or depressed. It's often the case when the child of God experiences that, that the believer struggles to pray. What to say? What to say? Saul is cast down and disquieted within the child of God, as David speaks of that in Psalms 42 and 43. And from the perspective of the believer, everything is dark and everything is black and everything is negative. And one finds it almost impossible, if not impossible, to speak to God. Scripture itself recognizes that that can happen in the life of a child of God. James 5:13, following the word of God, says if that happens in the believer's life, then there is a need to call upon the elders to come and pray. Pastor and elders to pray for those who cannot pray. The word of God reminds us that these are the times when the Spirit helps us with our infirmity of not being able to pray. And he knows the exact words that need to be uttered to God. And he brings them with groanings that reflect our inward groaning. And he brings to God the prayers that need to be brought to God's throne of grace. What a blessed thing that is. And the blessedness of it is that someone is praying for you when you do not or cannot pray. Someone is praying for you when you do not or cannot pray very well. Someone is praying for you who is living in your heart. And very much a part of your life, living with you every day, and who understands from the fact that he is experiencing your life with you, understands what your struggles and what your needs are, and tells God exactly what you need. What you need for your soul. What you need for the strengthening of your faith. What you need of the grace of God to continue on in your earthly pilgrimage till it is time to be delivered. And his prayers are perfect prayers because the Spirit is God. And as God, the Spirit has a perfect knowledge, knowing things that you do not know because he knows the will of God. Seeing things that you do not see because he sees the end from the beginning. He knows that this is God's perfect way for you to make you ready for glory. And he prays, as the text says, in complete agreement with the will of God. And you can be sure, beloved, that God hears and answers the prayers of the Spirit. The text mentions that in verse 27, he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. God knows what the Spirit is praying and knows and understands why the Spirit is praying those things and hears those prayers with a view to answering every one of them, because those prayers are perfectly in harmony with God's will. Our prayers often are not, but the Spirit's prayers always are. That doesn't mean that we don't have to pray. We do. Nor does it mean that God is uninterested in what you and I pray to him. He is, very much so. But when your prayers and mine are characterized by infirmities, and by the infirmity mentioned here in this text, that we know not what we should pray for as we ought, then God answers the prayers of the Spirit. He gives attention to those prayers. Because what the Spirit prays for is best for you and me. And that's very reassuring with regard to our prayers to God. From our perspective, we're sometimes disappointed. We pray to God, but God doesn't seem to respond to our prayers and to our requests. God, for a fact, doesn't always give us what we ask for. But if God did that, if God gave us exactly what we asked for every time, that wouldn't be good. It would be like a parent who gives to his or her children whatever those children ask for every single time. And there are parents that do that, and that constitutes, of course, poor parenting, because they end up giving their children things that are harmful, things that are not good for their children. And on account of giving to their children whatever the children ask for, they spoil their children, ruin the children, lead those children to be more and more discontent and more demanding, and even to develop a sense of entitlement. If God gave us everything that we asked for, we would receive things that are not good for our souls, not good for our faith, not good for our salvation. And in reality, the spiritually minded child of God would say this: if God gave me absolutely everything that I asked for, or even just the majority of the things that I asked for, I don't know if I would even dare to pray, because I'm a sinner. My requests and prayers are so often imperfect and even outright wrong. How thankful we can be, therefore, for the perfect prayers of the Holy Spirit, praying exactly and specifically for the things that we truly need. And it's on account of those prayers of the Holy Spirit, who intercedes for us with groanings which cannot be uttered, who brings to God's throne of grace exactly what we need. It's on account of those prayers that we receive so many spiritual blessings in this life, and such good and faithful care from God in this life, even though we ourselves so often fail specifically to ask for those things. God is faithful, caring also in our prayer life by the work of the Spirit. May our praise and thanks be to Him. Amen. Our God and Father in heaven, we are thankful for Thy Word. We are thankful for the Spirit. We are thankful for the blessedness for us of the Spirit interceding, praying for us, bringing to Thy throne of grace prayers that are perfect, perfectly in harmony with Thy will, for our eternal good, and for the glory of Thee, our God, the God of our salvation in Christ. May we be comforted and encouraged by this, to go forth in Thy service and strong in Thy might, to conquer all evil and to stand for the right, and to persevere also in prayer, and in our growth in the use of this blessed gift that Thou hast given to us. In Jesus' name, Amen.